It's interesting because we take a lot of direction from outside of ourselves. We let others influence, we let outside things influence, but really the only person that truly knows how you need information, how you will react to information, what is best for you is you.
Hello and welcome to Her Entrepreneurial Spirit. I'm your host, Monique Lover. In this space, I share unscripted conversations with female entrepreneurs who are harnessing the power of spirituality to create authentic and purpose-driven lives and businesses. Together, we are breaking through the rules and fears and leading with courage and love. It's time to lean into your own light as you let these stories encourage you to explore the unlimited potential of your own entrepreneurial spirit. Kristen Olson is an intuitive coach, energy healer, and an animal communicator. She's passionate about empowering those who are looking for strength, courage, and support. Kristen offers sessions to guide in the areas of personal growth, professional path, feeling one's best, self-confidence, achieving goals one step at a time, rest and relaxation, and tuning into your own wisdom, guidance, and unique gifts. Kristen has a great love of animals and works with them through Reiki and animal communication, giving these gentle souls the love, healing, and understanding they deserve. Welcome, Kristen. I am so excited to have you here and just see where this conversation goes. You are just such an amazing, loving person, and the work you do is so special and important.
Thank you, Monique. I am extremely excited to be here to talk with you today.
Yay. So tell me, give me a little bit of an intro of, oh my gosh, you do so many super cool and amazing things. How did it start? How did it combine together? How are you on this path now?
Yeah. How did I get going with all of this? Good question. It's interesting because that's one of the things that I've thought about is, it's almost like I'm putting so many things into a basket. And at one point I thought, is it too much? But it's not. It's really, I do feel that I'm very passionate about what I'm working on, people and animals I'm working with, and just the skills and things that I'm continuing to develop in myself. It just helps overall with personal growth for me and those that I'm working with. But basically, I probably about 7 or 8 years ago, I heard of Reiki. I felt that I was looking for something, and I have no idea what that something was. I heard of Reiki, had no idea what it was. Went and took Reiki level one, and at the time felt it would just be for myself, and there was no way I was ever going to work on anyone else. And that quickly changed. And I saw what it was doing for me. I saw some of the growth that I was going through. And I just consistently continued learning and taking the next level, and quickly realized that I wanted to help. I wanted to help others. And then from there, I've always had a love of animals. I was one of those children that when I was young, I wanted to be a vet, but I, could never put anything down. So I thought, okay, well, what else can I do? So it kind of circled back, and I thought, if Reiki can be done with people, why not on animals? So I was fortunate enough to learn animal Reiki as well. And then from there, it just kind of flowed into animal communication and all the other stuff.
Isn't that amazing? And I love that you don't box yourself in with, I only have to have this one passion and do this one thing, that I can do all of these things that I love. And that's okay. I feel like it almost gives other people permission to do that as well, because how many of us get accused of, you know, being too scattered, right? Or having too many passions, and you have to pick the one thing and go at it.
Right. And I've always struggled with, you know, that famous question. I think even you and I have talked about this, Monique, is what do you do? And that question can be scary sometimes. What do you do? Well, I do all kinds of things. And so does everyone else out there, right? So I've finally embraced the fact that it's going to be a lot of things, and I'm passionate about it all.
I feel that it gives people that you're working with the opportunity to receive all these different amazing healing modalities too, that it's like, okay, you're not just this one thing, that you can bring all different sides into play there. Almost gives them more of a holistic experience with you.
Yeah, my goal is, you know, is growth in general. So however, whatever is needed and whatever comes up is perfect.
I find it interesting that you talk about your own personal growth too, that it's about helping other people in their growth, but also how you have experienced your own growth. It's, you know, this amazing relationship of helping others, but then helping yourself at the same time.
Yeah, I think there might be a misconception about, you know, those who are, you know, giving services and or selling services, however you want to talk about it. But the perception could be that, you know, they have to master everything and that they have to, you know the answers of everything. And that's actually not how it works. It's, you know, you're continually going to grow yourself, and that makes you a better healer or whatever it is that you're doing. And, you know, the more you learn about yourself and the more you release about yourself, the better you can be to support others.
I'm curious, what are some of the modalities that have really helped you in that growth and healing process? Do you have some that are close to your heart, or even maybe talk a bit more about Reiki if people haven't heard about it before? I find it's a great opportunity. Yeah. For people just to learn, like, okay, well, it's not a formula. What I did might not be an exact copy of what you need, but at least it opens your mind to, oh, I never heard of that before.
Right. So Reiki for sure is one of my go-tos for everything. I use it in my own everyday life. I use it with people and animals, like I was talking about. Reiki, for those who don't know, at a high level is energy healing, and it is for the greatest and highest good of anyone or any soul involved. So it's never, you know, detrimental or anything, but it does help you to release blockages within your chakra system. You know, and that could be emotional blockage, physical, mental, just basically for your overall well-being. And so it just helps to continue the flow basically of your life. Everyone is going to have ups and downs. And Reiki is just kind of like a maintenance program, really, to keep yourself, you know, if you start to feel that something's off or you're not quite so grounded, or, you know, it kind of brings you back to yourself. So that is definitely one of my tools. The other thing that I didn't realize was a tool until the last few years, and that's I've been journaling since I was in high school. And, you know, it was the typical high school journal where, you know, you're talking about what's going on and all those types of things. And my girlfriends laugh because they call me the vault, and, you know, they, every once in a while they'll call and say, can you look up, you know, back when we were in this grade and what happened, which is interesting. But I didn't realize that, in doing that, and I did it all through high school, I did it all through college, and I've done it into adulthood. And I didn't realize that that was my way of communication. So, in the last few years, it actually turned into what we refer to as automatic writing or channeling. So when I can get into a quiet space and, you know, ask a question or just see what starts to come, information starts flowing to me. And as I write, things just come out, whatever that may be. It could be a problem I'm working on. It could be a question. Sometimes it's nothing. It's just sitting down to write and I have information come to me. And there's been several times where I've written so much and I have no recollection of what I've written. And when I go back and read it, it's quite interesting. A lot of it is messaging that I need to hear. And it's always full of love and guidance and feel good stuff, which is great because that's how I operate. I've recently turned that into readings as well, because I felt, you know, if I'm getting these messages for myself, what happens when I tune into somebody else? Am I able to pick up on any guidance for them? And that's kind of what started happening is as I was talking with people, their guides would, what I assume is their guides or their spirit team, would give me messages of encouragement or, you know, things that, you know, that could help them along their path. So it's quite beautiful because it's always done in a healing and positive manner.
Wow. It blows me away. It's so, do you find when you go back and read these things that it has a different tone to it than kind of something that, you know, you're consciously writing about in your day to day?
It does. And what I found so interesting was some of the messages I was getting for other people, it was in words that I typically wouldn't say or sayings that, you know, I typically, it wouldn't be in my lingo type thing. So I knew that it was coming from somewhere and the messages that were coming through meant they didn't mean anything to me. I was very happy to pass them on, but they didn't resonate with me, put it that way. But they, you know, they most definitely did with the people I was speaking with. So, and for me, that's such an amazing gift or service is to be able to bring that information through to somebody and help them to feel good. You know, just, it's just kind of like passing that light on. And I love to do that. It lights me up when I can see that light up in somebody else.
And what better confirmation that you know that you're doing the work that you're supposed to be doing, mm-hmm. that it's lighting yeah. you up. It's lighting them up. It's like this contagious spark, right? That betters
it is.
Everybody.
Yeah.
That actually ties into a listener question that I have here. The person was wondering about how your intuitive readings work. They say, I'm curious about what kind of info comes in and how. So could you give a little bit of an example of, okay, I'm going to come to you for a reading. How does that all happen? Are you writing down? Are you channeling with words for someone that might look at it and think, ooh, I don't know. That seems like unknown and scary. What am I going to experience when I do this reading?
Oh, great question. Thank you. It's interesting because as I started doing intuitive readings, I've kind of altered my format, but basically it's over a Zoom call. I get the both of us into more of a, not necessarily a meditation, but definitely into a quiet space. And then from there, it's funny because I always, on my end, it could be a bit awkward for the other person because basically I need to tune in at that point. So, I typically have music playing or something, but, I just ask, you know, what information does this person need for their greatest and highest good? And a lot of times the information again, just starts. Some of what I get, I could get random words that may have meaning to the other person. I don't know, green tree with a park bench, or, you know, some details that are just kind of random. And again, I don't filter or judge any information that comes through. I have learned definitely to trust that information because it's always, you know, the one thing you're thinking, do I really say that? That's the one thing that people need to hear. So I've learned that quite quickly. It can be random words. Sometimes it's messages. Sometimes I find that the people who are coming to me have questions about, you know, next steps, whether that's career or whatever that is. And I find that the guidance comes through from their guides. And sometimes it's just encouragement. Sometimes it's a little more harsh in that, you know, we've had this conversation, get moving type thing. And again, I don't filter. So it's whatever I write on the page is basically how I give the message. And once I have it written, then I deliver the message to the person, and then we have a conversation. And you know, sometimes things resonate, sometimes they don't. And again, I don't attach to that. It's whatever comes through and you know, is for the greatest and highest good. And then I typically pull a card at the end on behalf of the person, and we talk about that. And it's always amazing. Monique, I know you do this too. So it's always amazing what comes up, because yes. you really can't make it up. The messages and things that come through for that is pretty amazing as well.
Yeah, you can't take credit for that, right? You're like, no. I would never. I'm not that smart to come up with all of this.
No, or that, like I say, the messages, I truly trust what comes through, because, you know, 9 times out of 10, when I'm talking to someone, I've never laid eyes on them in my life. I have no idea about them or who they are. One of my kind of rules for animals or people is that before I meet them, I don't like to know anything about them. I just like to know a name. And sometimes I'll get a picture scan in the cases of animals, but I don't like to know any information, because I trust even more what's coming through, because I have no idea. So yeah, it's interesting.
Do you find one is easier than the other to work with, people versus animals, or is it just different in the way that messaging comes in for both of them?
It is different. People are a lot more emotional, and so it can be a little bit different. Animals, I find they are very simple. They just want to be happy. They just you know, they live in the moment. We can learn that from the animal realm for sure. So the information, when I'm working with an animal, I typically ask for a photo and the name of the animal before I meet them. So typically what I do in an animal session is I will work with animal communication and animal Reiki. I kind of do a combination for me that just helps me to connect in a little deeper with the animal. So I ask for a scan of a photo, and from that I determine whatever information comes through. So sometimes I get things like, you know, something the animal's thinking. I've picked up on favorite toys, nicknames their humans call them. I've picked up on things in their home that they're looking at. Like I've seen a vase of flowers on the table, and the animal had told me that it's unusual because she never puts flowers out, and there just happened to be flowers. And so things like that, it's really interesting. And then when I typically do a 2-part session. In the second session, if I'm meeting the animal live, which I really love to do because it gives me my passion of working with the animals, then I would, do a Reiki session on them. And for me, that helps relaxation. It helps more of a deeper connection. And, you know, same as people, releasing any tensions or anxieties. A lot of animals have anxieties, things like that.
Do you find, I have a question here about physical pain, and specifically someone is asking about their cat having a sore on their leg. And they say that the vet says it's not bothering the cat, but she's concerned because she knows cats can hide their pain. So she's wondering if it's true or not. Would that be something that you'd be able to tap into in a session? Is that something that Reiki can help with any physical pain as well?
So Reiki for sure can help with the physical pain, and that Reiki can be done at a distance as well. It doesn't need to be done in person, and it is still very effective. So from that standpoint, for sure, I would suggest that Reiki would definitely help. Now, I am not a veterinarian. So obviously that is, you know, number one. And, but Reiki is definitely a way to help with those types of things. The physical pain, for sure. And a lot of times it's releasing. Animals hold things that, you know, it could be related to something else. Is there something different happening in the house? Are they moving? You know, a lot of these things cause stress for animals as well. So you kind of look at those types of things, you know, what's happening around their situation. Could it be manifesting physically? Is it similar to people? Could it be manifesting physically because of what's happening around them? And then some of the things now in the past, there have been some animals where, prior to me going to see them, I have picked up on a sore hind leg, or I've picked up on digestive issues, anxieties for sure. So those types of things, I would always, you know, let the human know what I've picked up on. But again, it's, you know, veterinarian is definitely, you know, what you need to seek in those cases. But I definitely have picked up on certain things before that. Then if I felt it, so for example, on a horse, I felt a hind leg. So when I went to work with the horse, I definitely concentrated and did Reiki in that area, you know, a little bit more than I would in the other areas, just because I felt that something was there.
I find that so fascinating about how the energy can get blocked, or things like you said there, that's causing the... give me a second. Now I'm coughing all of a sudden. Let me start over. I find it so interesting that those energy blocks and even fears that are happening around the household can manifest in those physical forms. And in pets, probably, I don't know, they probably more aware of them than we are. Do you find that it's an easier kind of cause and effect, where we have so much going on in our brains?
Yes.
That it's harder to see.
So they're definitely more open, and they also release a lot quicker. So, you know, when you're working with an animal and, you know, if there's anxiety or if there's whatever there is, I find that they release a lot more. Some animals will just, you know, take a deep breath, or some will, you know, bark or yawn like crazy, and they'll kind of move on. It'll be over. Now obviously there's extreme cases where that isn't the case, but a lot of times animals are very, like, when I say we need to learn from the animal realm, I am not lying. They live how we should live. They live in the moment. They don't hold on to things. They release really quickly, things like that. Those are the types of things that, yeah, are the difference between animals and people, for sure.
I find that such amazing advice to take from them, because how many of us harbor all these feelings and emotions that manifest into bigger problems in our life, and how hard is it to let go of that? I mean, I can speak firsthand, like, yeah, I don't know. Part of you doesn't want to let go of it. Sometimes you're just so attached to it that it becomes known. And I think it's pretty inspiring that they can just take a breath and release it and be done with it. And it doesn't have to drag on.
Become part of their story. Like we do with humans, you know, like you said,
yeah,
humans can hold on to things, and that becomes part of their story, and it's almost becomes a comfort in a sad way, because you're so used to it being there. So a lot of the fear with humans is, you know, they're afraid to release, whereas animals don't think about it. They just do it. And with people, it's like, do I really want to get rid of that? You know, I know I say it's bothering me, but is it really? So it's just, you get a whole other level of ego in there, right? Second guessing what should be done. Yeah. So
where do you think that fear stems from? That fear of questioning, like, I don't know if I want to. I mean, I know I'm aware that this isn't a good thing, but it's funny that in our human minds, it's like, oh, but I don't want to let go. Then I have a fear of letting go of the thing, which I know is not good to begin with.
Yes. Yeah. Just human behavior. That's all it is. It's, we all do it. Every single one of us, even those who practice over and over, you know, and work on themselves over and over, it's still human behavior.
I think it's nice. A nice comfort for people to hear that, okay, it's just not me either, that it's something that everyone is working through, that you don't reach this kind of level of, okay, and then it's all gone, right? Or the work stops, right, or the healing stops. It's like, I'm just going to reach this point as a human and like, all right, music starts playing.
That would be lovely.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Unfortunately, not the case.
I think what you offer is so amazing because it helps people navigate that gunk and muck and come out of the other side as just a more joyful, free being.
Agreed. Yep, for sure.
So tell me, there's some questions here that people are, they're curious about specifically going on a spiritual path. So someone, you know, might be interested in, okay, they don't want to just come for a reading and receive information. They'd like to kind of dive into it themselves. What is some advice that you would give to that person? I also have a question here that's specifically asking what advice you would give to someone that's feeling like they're an imposter in the spiritual world. And I know specifically, like, this has definitely been conversations we've had off recording too, of going into this world and just things are new and you feel like that, that you're not the only one that feels like that, right?
Mm-hmm. First of all, two very great questions. The first one, kudos to whoever asked that question, because you can go and have readings done, and by all means, I do them as well. So it's definitely helpful. It gives you information in the moment and guidance and definitely things like that. But you can go deeper, and you can, if you're looking to, you know, find a spiritual path for yourself, that's great. And a lot of it is just figuring out what works for you. There's so much out there. There's so many modalities. It's what resonates to you. And if you hear of something or read something and it just does not sit well with you, then move on, put it down and move on. There are many, many other things that will. And that's why there are, you know, there's so many people out there that do so many different things. And for one, we're all needed. So it doesn't matter what part you're going into, it's going to be needed. And yeah, don't beat yourself up if something, you know, you feel you have to fit into a box. That there's, you know, every box is different, and whatever you choose to do for you is great for you. And you know what, you may start out in one modality and years down the road decide it's not for you anymore and you go into something else, and that's totally fine, because the human experience is growth, and sometimes you grow with it and sometimes you grow without it. And it's, you know, whatever resonates with you. So for sure, you know, there's guidance out there, you know, of where you can get started, some suggestions. I mean, I would have, you know, a lot of suggestions if I met someone and they kind of gave me the gist of what it is that they're interested in. But again, it's your gut. If it resonates with you, that's great. And the second question, Monique, the imposter. Yeah. That's a great question too. Yeah. And okay. And then Monique did touch on this. Her and I have had this discussion before, and again, I think that we've all felt like that in our lives, whether it's in the spiritual world or not in the spiritual world. And that just, again, comes down to human condition. Sometimes you're confident in your abilities and sometimes you're a little hesitant, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. What I've learned in my own spiritual path is that trust is absolutely everything. And it took me a very long time to get there. Years to get there to trust what's coming through, because it isn't me. I'm being given this guidance, this information, this Reiki healing, energy healing, and it's not from me. It's coming through me, and I just trust that whatever needs to happen for the person or the animal coming through is exactly what needs to happen. So it's just trusting, and the imposter is more just about the belief in yourself and just trusting that you are where you need to be, and you are here to do something specific, like we all are. And once you do realize that and embrace it, it is a beautiful thing.
Talk to me more about that trust and cultivating that trust. And like you had said, it wasn't something that just you woke up with one day and like, okay, no. I trust. What was that process like for you?
That was probably the hardest part. And again, it's a continuous journey for me. I'm not going to say I've arrived at complete trust in myself and I'll never doubt again. That's just not the way it works for me anyway.
Me too.
Yeah. The more I was doing, the more I was working with people or animals, the more information that was coming through that I would have no idea about, that I would pass on to a human or to a person I was working with. I was sensing things from them that I would just never know. And it's not my business to know. It really isn't my business to know. It's information, and I'm passing that information on, and it typically resonates with the other party and helps them with their growth. It could be a specific word that came through to me that, you know, means so much to them, but I would have no idea. I've had past life information come through. I've had guidance and support a lot of times is what comes through. And I just have had to learn to trust that, because, you know, I could read what I've written. If I've done, for an example, if I've done an energy reading and I could read what's written and I would think, well, that doesn't make sense, or that's a very simple message or something like that. But it could be the exact words that someone needs to hear. It could be something they woke up with in the morning that they're struggling with and I have no idea, but it could be the exact message that they need to hear. So I just started seeing that over and over again. And there are times where I give information where someone would say, especially with animals, like, so, you know, the owner may, or the human may say, that doesn't really resonate. And I don't hold attachment to that anymore, because, you know, either down the road it may or it may not. But a lot of times what was happening is I was getting feedback from a person or a human, if I was working with an animal, just that, you know, I'm not sure how you knew this, or how did that come through? And I'm saying to them, yeah, I'm not sure either. You know, it's a great question. How did that come through? But it's, again, it just had to come down to trust. And definitely, you know, the more feedback you receive and the more, you know, confirmation you get obviously helps with that. But it was just getting to the point where the information coming through, I would just deliver the message. And like I said, quite early on, and especially in Reiki, I was getting words or messages where I would filter. And I don't know why I would filter. I would just be like, oh, I don't think that they would really want to hear that, or that doesn't really make sense. And it would always be the one thing that I didn't say that they really, really needed to hear. So I've just now trusted, and I explain that in every session, that, you know, I may say things that resonate. I may say things that don't. It's not a judgment at all. I literally say what I hear and we go from there. But trust is a big thing. It really is. And you're trusting in yourself to receive the information. You're trusting in the way you're delivering the information. You're trusting that the person or animal on the other end is receiving what they're meant to get for their greatest and highest good. So it's, I used to be terrified of trust and now I'm kind of just embracing it.
Do you find it's affected other areas of your life too, outside of your work, that building that trust in your work has had other kind of trickle down effects for you?
It definitely does, especially with my intuition. So if I'm getting any signals or, a lot of information for myself, even in how I carry out my day or things I should or should not be doing, I definitely trust in that a lot more now. And it comes to me a lot quicker. And in the past where I may have, second guessed, it could be something basic, like don't wear the blue shoes, wear the black ones. And I'd be like, okay, what? But you know what? I just don't even second guess now. I'm like, all right, there's a reason. So I just, from that standpoint, it's definitely changed how I behave in my own day to day. And following any of those intuitive hits basically is definitely something that I move forward with now.
It seems like there's more flow, less resistance, less, questioning. Well, why? I want to wear these shoes, like this.
Exactly.
Feisty toddler, yeah. Right? Like I'm going to wear whatever I want to wear. Show you. And then, you get to work and you end up like, I don't know, your sole of your shoe falls off or something like that. Yeah. Right.
And there's been many examples of people. I know hundreds and hundreds or maybe even thousands of stories where, you wake up to drive to work in the morning and you decide to go a different route that you've never, ever gone before. And you don't know why. And then you find out after there was an accident or there was a road closure, or those are just the types of things. So we all get those hits constantly day in and day out. All of us do. It's just whether you're aware of them and whether you start to listen to them is basically what it comes down to. And that's where the trust factor comes in.
Do you have any advice for people that are having a hard time falling into that area of trust? How to even get started, maybe even just one tiny thing that they could do to just move a little bit further into trust. Because I know the idea of trust also comes with this thought of, well, that means I'm going to lose my control, that I have this tight grip on it, right? And well, if I trust someone else, that means that I'm losing my control and that it can be hard for people to give that away when they're so used to it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting because we take a lot of direction from outside of ourselves. We let others influence, we let outside things influence, but really the only person that truly knows how you need information, how you will react to information, what is best for you is you. And we always forget that. We always disregard that one voice that really is the one that you need to listen to. And again, a work in progress on my end as well. But that it's just, even if you listen to yourself, a couple of those intuitive hits a couple times a day or once a week, or just start paying attention. And even the simple stuff, even like I said, the shoe example, it doesn't have to be something major like the accident. It could be something simple, and just start trusting those intuitive hits and they will start coming more and more, and they will get stronger and you'll get different information. And that it just start there. The other thing I would suggest is what works for me doesn't work for everyone, but automatic writing. That is just literally sitting down with a question. You could write the question. I also talk out loud to myself a lot of times when I'm out walking the dog or whatever, just walking in nature. That's a big one for me. And I just talk things out. And I, you know, whether my neighbors think I'm crazy or not, when I'm out there talking to myself, but for me, it's really helpful. And, you know, if I'm stuck on something or if I'm unsure about something, I always just, you know, throw it out there and ask the question or talk it through as if I was, you know, talking to somebody. And I always find that helpful. And these are all things that are simple. They're free. You could sit down and do them yourself. You know what I mean? And start to get to know yourself and some of the questions that, you know, you may not even realize you needed to ask.
It's just really purely exploration. And I love how you do it in such a playful manner too, that it's not like rigid, like, okay, no, you need to start this routine and do this for half an hour or an hour. Just start with the small things, just do it. And don't put so much pressure on yourself to do it in a certain way or the right way, as I do little air quotes here.
I was just going to say that for any of you type A personalities out there. And I can say that because I'm one of them.
Yeah. Ditto.
when you sit down to write, it doesn't have to have punctuation. It doesn't have to be perfect on the lines. It doesn't have to be pretty colors. It can be whatever you want it to be. It could be one big hot mess and it'll still give you the message that you need to hear. So that's another part of trusting and non-judgment, is just let it come and however it looks is perfect. My journals, you know, I used to, I still am obsessed with journals. I would go to, you know, Chapters and buy the most beautiful ones. And
yes,
and I have a zillion. Yeah, I have a zillion, but that quickly turned into the dollar notebooks, because a lot of times when I journal, it's all over the place. Sometimes when I journal, you know, if it's negative or if it's something that I don't really want to think about anymore, I rip it up and I'll burn it or I'll throw it out. My writing tools are now dollar store notebooks, because it can turn into anything, but it's still, for me, it's about getting it out, releasing it. It's just another form of release, like an energy healing is, you know, get it out there. If it's something that's bottled up and really bothering you, write about it, get it out there, talk about it out loud. Again, that's all release and easy tools just to, you know, starting to get to know, you know, what it is you're struggling with or you want to work on. It doesn't always have to be struggle. There are people out there who don't have, you know, a lot of struggle and they just want to move forward or they want to do something creative or they want to do something different. And, you know, all of those things, it's just getting it out there.
Do you find this would also be applicable to people that are interested in manifesting certain things in their life? Maybe it's a new path or a new career or, you know, just a new way of being, that these tools would also be applicable. Like you said, it's not only for releasing the negative, but can it help to call in that positive?
For sure it is. And, you know, writing what your dreams are and what you're, you know, what do you want to see in a month or what do you want to see in 5 years or what are you working towards? One of my favorite manifestation tools is vision boards. And I do those with for myself quite often. I also do them with younger children in the school system. Sometimes I'm a big brother's big sister's mentor. And I love to do that with the kids too, because that gives a visual. I actually have one sitting in my office right now as we speak, and it just gives a visual and a focus of, you know, what you want to bring into your life and, or what you have already in your life that you're grateful for and you want to continue having in your life. So it's just a visual way of showing that. So you can, you know, have positive affirmations. You can have pictures. Right now I have, you know, a picture of a horse and a dog, and it says, "Some people don't understand why I talk to animals. That's okay. The animals understand." And to me, I read that every day and it's a part of who I am. And, you know, it could be anything, you know, traveling. It could be, you know, anything you're trying to call in. Anything you're grateful, friends and family you already have, animals. And it's just a creative way. You're very creative, Monique. So it's just a creative way to bring in another, you know, not like to-do list, but a, you know, a goal list, I guess, for your future and how you see it. And it can change. It can absolutely change. You know, I do a vision board quite regularly, almost every year. So, and it's not always the same. And that's totally fine. Yeah, totally fine. So just, yeah, some other creative tools to just to help you get your focus.
I love the idea of just creativity for creativity's sake, because I find how many of us that are entrepreneurs or entrepreneurial minded, and you always have, you know, you're developing this end game and this goal of, okay, well, I need to create this thing to do yada, yada, yada. And which is great. It's an amazing asset to have. But I love this idea of just creating just for the sake of it, with not having an end goal that you're just creating because it makes you feel good and it's bringing in more of this positive energy into your life. And every time you look at it, and almost solidifying it too, that when it's just in your head, it's different than when it's written down. And it's almost like a commitment. It's there, it's hanging up on your wall. It's that commitment to yourself, but you don't have to turn it. You don't have to turn it into a business. You don't have to turn it, you know, into a product. It's almost like you give people permission just to create, because we're humans and we can create and enjoy the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it just, you know, those days that you're struggling or you're having a hard time, it just looking at it and what's important to you, and it kind of puts everything else into perspective. You know, you do have, you know, no matter what you're going through in that day, you do have many beautiful things in your life already. That sometimes we forget when we're caught up in the stuff. So it's, for me, I use it as a reminder of that as well. I can come, you know, into my office, I can look at that, and it instantly, for one, reminds me of why I do what I do, and, you know, what's important to me when all the stuff out there, especially in the last year and a half, all the negativity, when you can get caught up so easily, it reminds you of who you are and what's important to you.
I think I'm going to get off this call afterwards and use some of that inspiration to bring more of that positivity, because you're absolutely right. There's so much negativity and fear in the world, and it's way too easy to get consumed by it. Instead of, you know, having your pocket of light, and that it spreads, it's infectious, just like you can spread negativity really easily. I think we forget that we can spread positivity just as easily as well, and that you have a choice what you want to put out into the world.
Yes, you do. And it is helpful. It's a little bit, even if it's, you know, one kind word to somebody one day, it does spread. And it is very important, because that one person may have just, that's the one thing they needed that day. And so, you know, it's never too small. It's never too small. Any kindness, any compassion, any empathy, you know, we all have our rough days, but the days that you're having, you know, really good days, it's really helpful to put forward any of that. It'll come back.
Because it is too easy, talking about trust and judgment, it's way too easy just to kind of slap a label on it or on that person, without realizing what's going on deeper in their world.
Right.
Yeah. 100%.
Right. Yeah, I think that's, yeah, something that we tend to forget as we get caught up in the ego part. But yeah, you do have to remember that we're all going through this. We all have our own stuff going on, and you know, it's nice to be that kind soul every once in a while for people who really need it.
You think it's like, okay, if it only takes one person, and then it spreads, and then it's another person and another, that how quickly could you spread kindness in the world, and what kind of a ripple effect would it have on everybody?
Exactly. Yeah. I was actually having this thought. I worked with the dog this past weekend, and I was leaving the house, and that was exactly my thought is, you know, am I helping? And I thought, you know, it's one dog. And I thought, yeah, but it's one dog who was, you know, suffering from anxiety and, you know, just wanted to be heard. And I left there thinking, yes, I did help. It's one dog, but, you know, it's one more now that has been heard. And that's basically, you know, how we have to continue and, you know, keep helping one at a time.
I actually have a good question that kind of flows into that about these animals wanting to be heard. And this person talks about, you know, being in that negative place. Like we're all human. We all are there. And they say that when she's tired and on her last nerve that she sometimes snaps at her pet, but then she apologizes to them after. And she asked, do you think that they understand that? Do you think it's important to apologize to our pets like we would to a human, that they can feel that intention? Do you find, can they feel that intention? Or is it something that we do because we're conditioned as humans that this works for a human, that what works for a pet and kind of that relationship? And these are great. Like, I feel these are really, really heartfelt questions that people are legitimately want to know. Okay, how can I communicate with a level that is best for you and not necessarily for me as a person?
Right. And that's another great question. And I love the honesty again of the question is, you know, I yelled at my pet and I, you know what, that again, we all do. I do. I work with animals and I, you know, it happens. You get frustrated. It's like a child or, yeah. but what I do suggest is, and the way I operate is, and any of the humans that I'm working with on behalf of their animals, to me, an animal is exactly like a human soul. In that they want to just understand, they want to get filled in on what's happening. So if you have a new baby coming into the home, or if you have another animal coming into the home, instead of bottling that up, have a conversation with your pet. And, you know, again, I do it all the time, so I have no qualms about it. You may feel a bit strange about it, but I do feel that they are souls and they just want to, for one, they just want to know that they're heard and understand. Sometimes animals, they just want to be seen. They just want to know that someone sees them. And, but I do, I would explain a situation to them in the cases of, you know, you got frustrated and you were angry. I would say I am sorry. I would absolutely apologize because that's how I behave. But I would, you know, I'm so sorry I just did that. I'm having a really hard day. I know that's not, you know, your issue, but, you know, I was frustrated because whatever, you wouldn't go outside when I really needed to, you to, or you didn't eat when I needed you to. But I just, you know, I still love you. The same thing you would explain to a child or another human is exactly how I would do it with an animal. They do pick up on our moods. So an animal, especially when it comes to horses and stuff like that, you can bottle up whatever you want, but they sense it quicker than anybody else, and probably including yourself. So if you just own that, if you just explain it to them, again, I'm also the one that talks to myself out in nature. So when I'm talking to pets, it's just something I do. And I would just explain, you know what, I've had a really tough day today. I'm feeling this way or that way. And, you know, it doesn't mean I love you any less. Explain things like that. You know, I was frustrated, still love you. You know, it's just having a conversation. I involve the animal in the conversation.
I love that you treat them as a soul. Doesn't matter if they're a pet, if they're a child, if they're an adult, that we're all on the same level.
Yeah, we really are.
There's specific questions here which I find tie nicely to about asking what you think kind of the best ways are to bond with our animals and become closer to them. One specifically that asks, is there a way to open up ourselves as humans to create space for them to share more with us? And how do you listen to that? So can you talk a little bit about someone that's, you know, very aware of wanting to create that bond and that relationship with their animal? How do you create the space for that interaction?
So first of all, with animals, number one is safety always. So assuming you're in a safe space and that you've given them a safe space, just letting them know that they're safe, that they're loved, you know, coming down to their level, you know, every once in a while. I'm not saying, you know, roll around on the floor 24/7, but especially if it's harder to get up off the floor, but, you know, every once in a while, just, you know, coming down to their level and letting them know that you see them and that you're there. Animals communicate telepathically. So if you want to start kind of practicing with your animal is, you know, if you visualize them coming and sitting with you or going outside or whatever it is you want to visualize for them, if you start visualizing that for them, they do pick up telepathically. So that's one thing that you can work on as well. Just surrounding them in love. And I mean, it's just as easy as, you know, cuddling on the couch. If you allow them on the couch, if you don't allow them on the couch, again, on a chair or on the floor, however, whatever works for you. And there's no judgment either way. but it's just all about, again, a lot of perception are that animals are pets, which they are 100%. Obviously they're pets, but they are souls and they are sharing your life. So, you know, just treat them as such. You know, a lot of times, and I am in the full habit of talking to my dog like a baby. I've always done that, but you can also talk to them like a friend or a family member and you know, just explain things and they do pick up on your energy around it. They pick up on your intent around it. So any of those tools just to start out and, you know, make them feel loved and seen. That's the biggest thing.
Do you find that your relationship with the animals in your life has changed since you started to delve into this work?
You would think that, Monique. it's like the, what's the saying, but I have a harder time connecting with my own pets, believe it or not. So, and I just think because there is so much emotional connection there that it is, you know, when my dog's not feeling well, I go into panic mode. Whereas if I was working with another dog that's not feeling well, I would come at it a very different approach in how I could help. And now, don't get me wrong, I'm still giving Reiki to my dog all of the time. I'm still talking to her all of the time. But for whatever reason, I do find that it is harder to connect with my own pets. Now, not for lack of trying. I do try. I work with them. I communicate with them. I had a Shih Tzu who was 16 years old who we had to have put down in January, and that was heartbreaking. But I felt with all of the training and learnings that I had, I was able to help him and myself and my husband through that process. And, you know, just talk about, you know, how, where he was going to go and how he felt and making sure he was safe and all of those things. So yeah, I just think that, you know, I do struggle a bit more with my own pets, but I still use the same tools that would apply with any of the animals I'm working with.
I think what an amazing comfort you can bring to both the humans and the animals just in those difficult situations and processes too. And that you're, you know, you become this guide to help them all through it and understand more instead of it being elevated by fear. It sounds like, oh, there's just this kind of calmness and understanding about it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's definitely more of an understanding, still a heartbreak, but definitely more of an understanding and a realization. Also realizing it was time for him and he needed to go. So those things are helpful as well, for sure. And years ago, I wouldn't have been able to do that because I would have been completely caught up in my own awareness, I guess. But understanding that, it's another soul is being affected and you're trying to understand what's their story that's happening that you could help with.
And the fact that you find it harder to work with your own animals because there's that emotional connection. It's interesting because it doesn't surprise me. I almost think of it, it's the same as when you are working with your guides one-on-one, that there's almost, it's different when you're filtering information for yourself, do you find, versus someone else, because you can detach and you can be unbiased, but then you put, your ego in there and it's like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, I don't want your tough love, right? I'm not doing that. Exactly. That sounds awful and out of my comfort zone.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Good thing is our guides are patient when they tell you the same thing over and over and over again. They still love you and they're patient.
I always thought about that being like the most frustrating job ever. How many years have I been telling you, just go left, go left? Like, oh, are they going to go left? No, they're going to go right again. And just to have that level of patience and love and understanding, it just blows me. It's the next level, the next level of parenting almost.
I'm sure my guide has been looking for another job for quite some time, but
yours and mine both, right? Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in and sharing this very special space with me. For more information on how I can help you heal from the past, build trust with your intuition, and take aligned action towards creating a purpose and passion-filled business and life, visit my website at MoniqueGlover.com. If you loved what you just listened to, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. I am so grateful for your loving comments, ratings, and shares. Sending you so much love and light. Until next time.